I'm so glad I picked him up at the pool in our home league. Well, that's a fair deal. Good deal. Oh, okay. That's not too much. Oh, top scored again. Jeez, I'm on fire. All right. Yeah, helps when you got Jakey Lloyd in your team and McCrae captain. Yep. Pretty much mine as well, so mine are, I've only got four for the waivers. Yep. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. I'll talk to Steve about working out how to edit this, so I've got no fucking idea how to do it. And I don't have the programming, so it might have to be... Yeah, I think it's how Steve does it. He just uses our recordings and then just drops them in, but because I don't have the program, I have to work it out a different way, or just give them to Steve and he can do it if his computer's up and running tomorrow morning or something. Cool. Double check myself. Yep. G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett. We are without Stevie Fizz today. He didn't even make it to Gabs on the weekend. He's had computer troubles and couldn't get it up for the weekend. So it's just the Statesman and I today, and welcome to you.
Yes, good evening. I think I should read from this prepared statement. This will be my last show for a few weeks, as I'll be on suspension for appearing on a salary cap format show last week. Sadly, the biggest issue, I was not able to convince Stoss from trading in Rocky this weekend, even though he is going to miss next weekend due to the bye. I failed that Mercy Dash, but I also failed the hashtag brand. I take responsibility for my part in these actions, and I will not appeal the decision. Thankfully, due to Steve missing out this week, the boys have given me a reprieve, allowed me to perform this weekend. I'll try and do my utmost for the hashtag brand, and hopefully my team can get a win next week as well.
Well, you have been doing a bit of a Melbourne and doing the old Tankeroony there and playing for draft picks for next season, that's for sure, now our keeper league.
Oh, to be fair, I actually still want to win. And as I say to all my players, we run out. It's not about the draft position. It's not about where we finish on the ladder. We still want to make sure that we get the winning formula happening in our team. So I'll try and win each and every week. I'll try and have a full team on there each and every week. But as you can see, I'm trying to build the best 12 players possible, getting ready for next year's draft, no matter what position that is, because it doesn't matter where you are, it's just how well you draft.
That's exactly right. And a bit of news out of the weekend, a couple of injuries. Tom Jonas got kicked in the shin, and he went off late in the fourth quarter there with an eye shin. He's got the bye, so he'll be fine. Nick Holman also copped a cut to the head late in the game as well, but again, with the bye, he'll be fine. Zach Jones copped a concussion as well. He's either a 1 week or will be right for next week. And Alex Fasolo, playing his first game back for the week this week against the Saints, but twisted his ankle early and didn't partake in the game in that as well. And we also saw Mark Murphy having a bit of a foot issue on Sunday as well, but he came out and played out the game, as well as Alex Elliot Yeo. He rolled his ankle and sent a massive scare through the owners of him through their camps, but he was okay and actually came back on and scored quite well in a massive win for the Eagles.
I think he was at 5 points at quarter time, and he's the game's still going as we speak, but it's nearing the end, but he's on 110, so a magnificent three quarters from Elliot Yeo. I was quietly smiling in the background a couple of minutes into the second quarter going, you beauty, that's going to help my overall position. But unfortunately, he's had an absolute blinder.
Yeah, it must be the good drugs they've got going over there at the West Coast Eagles.
Maybe.
If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by following us on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, at Statesman33. We've also got at The Potato Bake, writing our weekly injury report, and STPorter15, who does the DPP watch as well. You can check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au, where the articles are dropping Monday to Friday for your listening pleasure. But now we're just going to go through the top five things we noticed this week in the football. And what have you got this week, Statesman?
Well, first off, it's the yo-yo effect of our premiums this year has been quite amazing. I mean, yes, mainly due to the tag, but form has also impacted these scores. But I had this feeling, and I thought I'd better do a little bit of research. So I'll just go through these list of names. Obviously, there's a couple exceptions to the clause. And the main one is probably the main man this year at the moment in Jack McRae. He seems to be quite steady. His lowest score is 99, so magnificent effort. But these are our other stars. Fife, lowest score of 67, highest score of 144. Mitchell, 58 to 156. Treloar, 84 to 147. Gawn, 78 to 148. Laird, 83 to 141. Steph Martin, 68 to 177. And because he's the best Kerno, 81 to 160. Now, that is just amazing range of scores. So the role of picking your captain each week is just so challenging this year. And I just really can't remember a year outside Jack McRae, but let's face it, only one team in your league's actually got Jack McRae. It's not as if everyone can have him. So the actual challenge of picking your captain this year is very tough, and you've got to read the play really well. Sure, we normally have a range of scores each and every year, but this year just seems to have more extremes, Jono.
Yeah, look, I totally agree. And it seems to be the rise of the tagger has been giving us these extreme scores. And look, if I was a Jack McRae owner, I'd love to be that person. But I think that's one of the great aspects of fantasy football is now you can sit there on a Thursday night or a Friday night and just actually have a think about who your captain is instead of, like, your Dangerfield, your Mitchell. You just lock them away and have your perma-captain. And I think that the days of those are gone, with especially with the competition being so even.
Yep, no, very, very true. Number two, isn't it amazing what a shake-up at a club can have, the dramatic effect it can have? Essendon's performance and their fantasy scores this week were just sensational and would have broken a few hearts of the Cats fans on the weekend, that's for sure. And also good to see Merritt and Goddard, who both got attention during the week, fought back and scored well. So 108 and 98 for both of them, who had pretty poor weeks the week before. So well done to Essendon, the players, and well done to those couple of stars that a few teams would have been relying heavily on. What a game from Jake Lloyd. 163 AFL fantasy points. And Supercoach, 173. So just so everyone understands how big that was his personal best, his PB, by 32 points in AFL fantasy. That's huge. So I never thought that he'd have a score like that in him. So it begs the question, Jono, will they start putting attention on him and free up some of the midfielders?
Yeah, it's very interesting because he's had 77 disposals the last 2 weeks, and he's just seemed to have free reign and no one's been stopping him. So if someone does lock him down, I hope not, because I'm an owner of him in just about every single league I'm in.
And I suppose it all boils down to efficiency. So if he's a very effective kick, that's probably why they want the ball in his hands anyway, then that's when they've got a judge of whether we close him down because he's making a real impact. But if he's actually, a lot of his disposal are actually not hugely effective, they're just constantly crossing back and forth, doing the old junk time points, then they won't worry about it so much. But if you're getting 173 Supercoach points on top of your 163, you've had a good game with effective football and meters gained, because that's how Supercoach works.
also comes down to the opposition who they've got. I mean, they've got Brisbane. They play Freo on the weekend. They've got St Kilda and Carlton coming up, so there could be a couple of more massive scores on the way for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Fourth on the list, I said it last week, but Aaron Hall looks at home at halfback and could be one of the leading defenders, especially for the leagues that have the positional changes. And it's amazing to think he was on the scrap heap only two weeks ago. Now, speaking of scrap heap, there's two players I want to mention as my last point. One from Brisbane being Tommy Cutler. And the next one is from West Coast Eagles being Jack Darling. Jack Darling has just completed his game and scored 151. He is averaging, I think it's over 116 over his past 3 weeks. I think he's scored now 5 tons of the last 6 weeks. Sensational. And this is a man we talked about a few weeks ago. He was a ball magnet in his junior days. I think I even talked about that massive 204-point scorer in the National Championships game. But Tommy Cutler has also hit form. Now, the amazing thing for these two is a month ago, both these players were sitting on most waiver wires, just sitting there on the scrap heap, not being utilised. And now they're probably two of the hottest players in their lines, Cutler in defence and obviously Jack Darling as a forward. That's quite remarkable. Congratulations to them. Who knows whether they can keep up this form, but they've just been sensational, so they needed a pat on the back.
Well, the way the Eagles have been playing, we thought they were going to be down the bottom, but they're a massive fantasy-relevant team this year. And with Jack Darling, he was sitting in the pool in our home league, and I only grabbed him as a match-up for that week, got me the ton, and he's been in my team ever since, and now he's got to be considered a captain option.
Absolutely.
My top five for this week is Melbourne. They are absolutely on fire at the moment. They put Carlton to the sword by over 100 points this weekend. And since Tommy Mack's come into that team, he's really straightened up that forward line. They're not just going to Jesse Hogan. Tommy Mack, they'll go to him. He gets the ball on the ground. They had 12 individual goal kickers this week. So there's a good spread of goal kickers in Fritch, Harms, Hogan. Like, Hogan didn't do much today. Petraka. So it's good to be getting on board those Melbourne players. They're not going to be doing it each and every week, but they're going to have one out of the bag, that's for sure.
The one I can never work out is Melsham. He can have such a poor score 1 week and then a massive score the next. Is that just role or the opposition?
A bit of both. He's playing that forward, defensive forward, but he did bob up, kick 5 goals today. So it's going to be swings and roundabouts for a lot of those Melbourne forwards and half forwards, I think, this year. They're all going to have their chance to score. You mentioned Essendon having a day out and Zach Merritt having a day out. The Cats missed Scott Selwood's tagging ability massively there on the weekend. They did back their holy trinity, if you want to call for a better word to call, to get the job done, but they all had pretty down days. Adlett was really quiet, only scoring in the 50s in Supercoach. Dangerfield just getting over the ton, and same with Selwood, he was just under the ton, so they didn't get the job done. Again, the ruck situation's a big concern. They've tried Stanley, Zach Smith isn't quite getting the job like he did last year, so maybe they give him another go. They'll look to maybe use Wiley Buzzer. Radigalia went down early, so interesting one down there at the Cats. With Adelaide, they've got some depth in that midfield. We thought with no Sloan and the Crouch brothers that the Doggies should absolutely towel them up. Mind you, the weather didn't help, and the Crows played the conditions much better, just looking to get meterage, and the Doggies overused the handballs. But the likes of Cam Ellis-Yolman, he was sort of that fringe player the last couple of years. He's really stepped up and as that big body midfield, and they're really winning the contest as well. So really liking what he's doing. So not sure if he's up for a contract, but if he was, he could slot into like a Brisbane who are looking for a big body midfielder. Would be perfect for him.
And does not look like a player who's come back from an ACL.
No, he certainly doesn't. I think that's to do with his MMA training. He was doing some sparring with MMA fighters and might have helped in the recovery there. Jack Billings is horribly out of form at the moment. I think Alan Richardson just doesn't know where to play him. I think his best role is that permanent small forward with time on ball, but because I just don't think he has the size to compete with in the contest at the moment. And if he's not playing that permanent forward, if he is playing the midfield, he just looks a little bit lost with the likes of Seb Ross, Jack Stephen rolling through there, getting all the points. But I'm a Bellies owner and I've had offers, but I'm just going to ride this one into the ground because he's worth absolutely nothing and too good for the pool.
I know a role for him that'll pick up his form. It's in the VFL.
Well, that's the other option I had written down there. Go to the Magoos for a couple of weeks and get some form back because he is a talent. We all know that. And reading on social media before we went on air tonight, they're saying that the Hawks had a bit of an off week, and I find that an absolute cop-out. I don't like it when they say we had an off week. The Brisbane Lions were absolutely fantastic, and it was close in the first quarter. They restructured up and completely outplayed them for the next three quarters and deserved their win. So they're saying six outs and all that sort of crap. That's bull dust. The Hawks are just simply outplayed, and well done to the Lions.
There were two outs. They made four other changes. And you're right, Brisbane have been playing fantastic football, and they have been for about a month. They've just been pretty unlucky. Mm. They should have beat Port Adelaide.
Well, that's right. That was only a kick. They went right up to the wire with the Doggies and the Q clash as well. So they've been thereabouts, and hopefully they can get a few more wins for the season. Moving on now, we're going to talk our waiver wire pickups for the week. And when we do talk our waiver wire pickups, we use Ultimate Footy's 65% ownership or less. So that way, if you do play in the deeper leagues, it gives you a chance to pick up these players. And I'm going to start it off this week. He's played the last 2 weeks, and that's Orazio Fantasia. He's in 51% of the leagues. He's kicking goals left, right and centre. He's just glad to be out there. Up against the GWS, who are pretty much licking their wounds at the moment. They've just been decimated by injuries. So a good chance for him to get on the board. The Bombers had a win, so they're up and about. My next one is Darcy Lang, in 48% of teams still. Even though the Blues got absolutely smashed on the weekend, he was still able to pump out a couple of 70s. And if that's his floor, I'm really happy with that. So he can build on that because we know he's a first-round pick. Ben Ronk, I thought with Buddy Franklin coming into that team, I thought his scores were going to be affected, but he still scored really well again on the weekend, still in 59% of teams. The Swans are playing the Lions this weekend, so a good chance to snag another 7 goals, hopefully. Saw Kane Corns on the Sunday Footy Show saying he'll never kick 7 again, but I'd like to see him prove him wrong this weekend. And my last one is Jackson Trengo from the Western Bulldogs. He's playing as that tall forward up against the Crows in the driving rain, but still managed to pump out an 80 in fantasy and 90 in Supercoach, listed in 14% of teams. They're up against the Pies this week, so he can rotate forward, back, and middle. He can play everywhere, so I'll be looking to grab Jackson Trengo.
Beautiful. I've just got a couple of forwards to add on to your list. First one is Harry Cunningham. So he's a dual position player, centre forward for the Sydney Swans, owned by 30%. Has scored 290s on the trot, and they have great matchups leading into the byes, as you've just discussed. So Sydney Swan players should get some pretty good scoring. If he keeps his more attacking role, he should average low 80s for the rest of the season. So Harry Cunningham should be able to give you a few high 90s over the next couple of weeks, but expect a low 80s for the rest of the season. Last but not least is someone who could be a big scorer for you, and it's Nick Graham. So he's a centre forward also for Carlton Footy Club. He's been a star in the VFL for years. He's now 23 years of age and had a pretty promising 2017 and therefore was drafted by 90% of leagues this year. But his ownership now, because he hasn't been playing, is now down to 37%. But now he's back in the team and he's scoring well. So you can pick up from the waiver wire a player who had an average draft position of 152. So that's an absolute bargain that you're getting there, and should average low 80s for the rest of the season. So that's Nick Graham, centre forward for Carlton. Obviously keep an eye, because over the times he has been a bit of a whipping boy when it comes to selection. But it's only a matter of time that this classy ball magnet from the state leagues actually gets a regular Guernsey for his club, especially when they're struggling, especially when they're struggling in the midfield at the moment. Ambitious to see how Murphy will go with a bit of soreness again today. So whether Murphy will have another stint or a little spell on the sideline. So Nick Graham, worthwhile discussing.
Yeah, and also any of the Swans defenders in Arampi and Grundy, they've got low ownership and they've got some pretty good matchups the next couple of weeks, so I'll be looking to square a couple of them away, especially with the buyers fast approaching.
And maybe Haywood too, so he might be another one. Might get a few good scores just through those good matchups leading into the bye.
And if you want to follow us on, if you want to check us out on iTunes, Stitcher and SoundCloud, you can do that. And if you want to hit the subscribe button, that way the show will come to your device each and every week without you having to do anything. And if you've got a few minutes, please do leave us a review. We really appreciate it. It gets the brand out there and gets us up the rankings. But now, because Steve is away, Statesman, you've got a little buy, sell, hold for us. What have you got this week?
Yeah, just the one, just to sell. And it was just looking at the weekends. I've just been someone that's been running a little bit hot over recent weeks, being Josh Caddy. He's their third highest averaging Richmond player this year. A forward who is currently getting a little bit more midfield rotations, mainly due to Prestia being out. So he's in great form at the moment, but I can't see that scoring rate lasting. So sell him while he's hot. So he's got a fair bit of value. He's just under 90 average as a forward. That's good value. You'll be able to get a pretty good midfielder return for Josh Caddy.
Do you reckon it'd be worth throwing a few lines out for Dusty Martin? Hasn't been at his prolific best the last few weeks, had the tags come his way. There could be a few frustrated owners out there.
Look, there could be, but the reality is I don't think many are going to throw away. I think once the second half of the season comes, Dusty will come out to play. I think he's just cruising along. They're ticking along at the moment. We know they're lost today, but it's only their second loss for the year. So they're running pretty smoothly. I think Dusty will burst out. So, look, you never know, because I even saw an owner trade Taylor Adams because he had a couple of 60s on his return. It's all about role, timing, fitness, all those type of stuff. So someone might have a gutful, but I would be, if I owned him, I'd just be sitting pretty. He's just another 90 averaging midfielder for the time being, but he can be a game breaker and a captain option.
Yeah, that's right. Just I was going to have a little crack at it myself this week. And finishing it off, as always, is your weekly Statesman Skippers for the week.
Yes, well, I had a decent week this week. I will say there were a couple that probably didn't get to the expectations, but most of them got a tick in the box, which is reasonably rare. Although I will say that the Sam Jacobs option was the ruck against the Western Bulldogs didn't really come into the fore with only 78. So loophole option wasn't the most fantastic one. So for the loophole this week is Collingwood against Western Bulldogs. I'm going to remain with the Friday night ruckman over the Western Bulldogs. You can understand why Sam Jacobs in that rain didn't take a lot of marks and therefore get his score up high. But Brody Grundy is going to smash him this week.
Under the roof of the dome too.
Yeah, so this is going to be a great one, and we all know that the Bulldogs are giving up major points to ruckman. Obviously, you've got McRae, who's the steady, strong one. Be interesting to see if Collingwood use either Pendlebury or Sidebottom. They've done minor roles this year, of whether they put a bit of concentration onto him. McLean, Treloar, Pendlebury and Sidebottom are all great loophole options this week. So it's a feast, really. If you've got any of those guys, chuck on the V, let's see what happens. But Grundy's your man. Captain Risky this week. Well, Goddard got 98, which is not bad after a very slow start. So that's, I'd say, for the Riskies, anything over 90 is a pass mark. So Colton are in a little world of pain at the moment. Injuries and form mean their defence is under pressure. You would assume the Cats will be licking their wounds this week and will be out in the prowl. The biggest cat of them all will be able to kick a bag full. So if Tommy McDonald can kick a bag full, then Tommy Hawkins can kick a bag full against Carlton. So my captain risky for round 10 is the big Tommy Hawkins.
At the GMHBA stadium too, where it's nice and narrow, so they'll get the ball inside 50 really quickly to him. Good pick. I really like it. That wraps up the show for this week. I've got to say, I am really tired after 3 days of power drinking at the Gabs Beer Festival. That's a total of about 15 hours straight drinking over three sessions. So pretty wired, pretty tired, and the hangover is really kicking my butt at the moment. But thanks very much for listening. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, at Statesman33, at The Potato Bake, and at STPorter15 as well. Search us on Facebook as well, The Draft Doctors there. And we've got the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.